This podcast episode, while not explicit, contains some gruesome details about violence that may be troubling for some listeners to hear. Listener discretion is advised.
Creepy Life Podcast, a podcast with a wide variety of creepy topics for all your true crime, paranormal, and otherwise spooky needs. I'm Thomas.
I'm Sparky. I'm here. We're having a struggle.
Yeah. That's one way to say it. At time of recording, it is 7:35 Mountain Time. Which means we have to record at least an hour of this episode and try and do that in the next 25 minutes.
Your bedtime is not 8 o'clock.
I am that old man that wakes up ridiculously early, okay?
I'm gonna tell you a really sad story today.
Does this involve cannibalism?
No.
That's next week.
Great.
Yeah.
This involves a lot of other bad things. Yay. So, I'm going to tell you the story of the Hinterkaifeck farm in Germany.
Germany?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is a Germany. I speak German.
No one had ever heard that before. Nobody knows that. My sources, Wikipedia, Mental Floss, DefrostingColdCases.com, Ranker, Historic Mysteries, Today in True Crime Podcast, the March 31st, 2020 episode, and Case File Podcast, Case 124.
Alright.
Cool.
Yeah.
Alright, so I knew about this case beforehand, and I'm pretty sure I've listened to podcasts about it, but I didn't remember all the details, and some of them are really depressing.
We don't ever do depressing stories in this.
I know.
I'm not currently working on an uber-depressing story.
Yeah, I think after this we need to do a little bit more lighthearted story after your next one. I'll find one. So, in this story there is a brief mention of assaults. Like usual, I'm not going to make it graphic, and I will let you know before it gets closer, but I just want you to know if that's something that bothers you, you can't listen to. As usual, it's not explicit, but just listen with caution. Alright, so, Hinterkaifeck.
Yeah.
You know what Hinter means in German?
I do.
What does it mean?
Refresh my memory.
Behind. And Kaifeck is the name of a town, so the farm is literally
behind the town.
Behind Kaifeck is what it means.
I learned German from listening to Rammstein in a really poorly written book. So, like, a lot of times, individual words I may not know. But if they're grouped in a sentence, I can tell you what the sentence means.
You're gonna like it. Like you said, it's in Germany. Specifically, it's in Bavaria.
Old Bavaria?
Yeah.
Oh, I am trying not to sing, but I haven't been so happy since we crushed Poland.
Yeah, he's jumped right into the producers, Franz Liebkind.
Yeah, I played a parody of a Nazi. I don't condone Nazis.
But that was a fun role.
Of all the roles I played, that is my favorite, honestly. Because that was the first one that I could just really cut loose and just be wacky.
This farm, just important detail for later, there are woods, I believe, on two sides of the property, but for sure one side. So, people who lived at the farm, from oldest to youngest, were Cecilia Gruber, who is 72. She's the grandma.
Wait, what's her last name?
Gruber, and she's married to Hans. I'm just kidding, I'm kidding.
I was just gonna ask that.
Yeah. See, I even wrote it in there, Hans, JK. Her husband's name is Andreas Gruber. He's 64. I noticed that, so I think it's interesting that for the time, he was younger, like 8 years younger, which I don't think that's very common.
What time did this take place?
In the 1920s.
Oh.
So there's Cecilia and Andreas, the grandparents, basically. There's Victoria Gabriel, who is their daughter. She had been widowed. And we'll talk about him in a little bit. She was the actual legal owner of the farm. She had two kids that also lived there. Cecilia the Younger, who went by Celie, but she was named after her grandma. And then, would it be pronounced Yosef?
Yosef.
Yosef. Celie is 7, Yosef is 2. Those are the people that currently live at the farm. So, like I said, Victoria had been married. His name was Carl Gabriel.
I'm assuming with a K?
Yes, with a K. And Victoria is also with a K. And it wasn't going very well because of Andreas, the dad, didn't like him. He treated Carl very poorly. So Carl actually moved in with his parents for a couple of months before he enlisted in World War I.
I was just about to ask that.
Yeah. And he was shipped off while Victoria was pregnant with Celie, her first child. He died in December of 1914. So it had been like right at the beginning of the war. But yeah, he died in December of 14, and Celie was born a month later in January of 1915.
Ouch.
Yeah. Andreas, the grandfather, not a stand-up guy. If you're sensitive to the idea of assault or incest, skip ahead a few times. He had been accused of incest in 1915 and again in 1919. He was commonly known for forcing himself on his daughter.
Gross.
Yeah. He spent a year in jail for this. Victoria also spent a month in jail. I don't know if it's just because she was involved. And when she was widowed, he said that she couldn't get remarried because, quote, as long as he was alive, she was his. Creepy AF.
Gross.
And if people came to the house, like, looking to date her or whatever, he would hide her so she couldn't meet anybody else.
Lovely.
Yeah, he's a creepy guy. We don't like him.
You need to retract your joke about Hans Gruber, because Hans Gruber is way too honorable.
What's his name? Rick?
Alan Rickman.
Yeah. He would never do that.
No.
Snape might.
No.
I never shipped Snape and Lily. I know you didn't watch your
book. Anyway. Yeah, I've never seen the movies, but doesn't he end up like being a hero? Like, sacrificing himself at some point. Yeah, see?
But
I can't see Andreas doing that.
Okay, so Victoria had a lover, Lawrence Schlittenbauer, which is a great last name. That's how I heard it pronounced on 2 different podcasts, so.
I just wanted to see.
How it was spelled.
Yeah.
I love the German language because there's so many letters and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so he was a farmer, also who was one of their neighbors. And they started seeing each other near the end of 1918. They wanted to get married. When Victoria told him that she was pregnant, he didn't believe, because this was with her younger, he didn't believe that Yosef was his because of the rumors / accusations that had gone against Andreas and Victoria. But throughout their time together, he still called Yosef my boy. So he still, you know, cared for him and whatever, mm-hmm. even if he wasn't sure. And also on Yosef's birth certificate, the initials for father were listed LS for Lawrence Schlittenbauer. Mm. So he claimed him.
Yeah.
But he didn't know for sure that he was his. Like I said, it's rumored that Yosef, and some say Celie too, the other child, were actually her dad's. Which is really sad and really gross. Don't do that. But Lawrence was actually the one that reported them to the police for their relationship. And it's actually rumored because Andreas didn't want them to get married because he wanted to claim Victoria, that Lawrence went off and married someone else, like, immediately after that. He had been married previously, so this is complicated. She died. He was courting Victoria. Her dad didn't want them to get married, so he married someone else. The second wife, she had a baby that died, like, weeks after it was born, which is possibly relevant later.
Okay.
All right. So, on Hinterkaifeck, they also had a maid. Her name was Maria Baumgartner. What?
She related to Brian?
I don't know. I knew that name sounded familiar. She started working at the farm on March 31st, 1922, and she was kind of afraid of working for the farm. Because of what she had heard from the last maid, and there were rumors around town about the relationship I told you about. But also, the last maid quit in late 1921 because she claimed that the farm was haunted. She would hear footsteps in the attic, and she always felt like she was being watched. It's Denver Spider-Man all over again.
Either that, or Yosef had a twin brother, and they didn't want them to fight. So they chained the younger one upstairs and fed him, like, fish heads and whatnot.
Ew!
They go up there and he's all, like, hunchback and mutated.
Ew, disgusting.
I saw it in an episode of The Simpsons, like, a Treehouse of Horror.
But yeah, no one should have been in the attic, so not even an evil twin. And all of the family had heard the footsteps. But they never found anyone up there. Celie, the younger, the daughter, was very disturbed about this because the previous maid had said there were ghosts in the house, and being a little girl, it freaked her out, so she had trouble sleeping and things. So in March of 1922, Andreas told his neighbors that he had found two sets of footsteps coming up to the farmhouse in the snow. However, there were no footsteps leading away. They also found a broken lock, or it could have been a lock that just had signs of tampering, like someone was trying to break into something. They also found a newspaper that didn't belong to them, and they thought the postman delivered it to us by mistake, but none of the neighbors subscribed to that newspaper either, so it would have been a really weird mistake to make, because it wouldn't have been anyone close.
Yeah.
And then in late March 1922, two keys to the farmhouse and barn went missing, and none of the family knew what happened to them. Are you forming an idea of what's going to happen?
Number one thought that comes to mind? This breed of reptilian aliens walked up to the farmhouse as one by one been picking them off and taking their place.
Oh my god.
They stole the keys to give to the mothership so that they can get in and out easier.
Oh my god. That's okay. When we're done with this story, let's remake it. Like, redo the whole story. Just like they do in The Producers. Germany losing the war?
Excuse me?
Yeah.
It's too downbeat!
So, we're gonna change it up, and the family are just gonna be lizard people that take over Germany and eventually the world. Okay? Cool. Great. Alright. So, March 31st, like I said, that was the new maid's first day. Her sister took her to the farm. She just wanted to visit and see where she was gonna be in the afternoon of that day. And that would have been Friday. Okay, so I'm just gonna be honest about this little next bit of information. I'm really confused because multiple sources said the next day Celie was gone from school, but that would have been a Saturday. So I don't know, maybe they had Saturday school?
Maybe it's possible that they didn't do the just 5 day a week in Germany at the time.
I don't know. But apparently she was gone from school a lot, so the teacher didn't think it was a huge deal. She apparently got sick a lot, which if the incest rumors were true, that would make sense.
Yeah.
But she was also gone again on Monday. Also, the family members were not present in church on April 2nd, which was Sunday. They assumed they were busy or ill, but nobody checked. Also, the postman noticed that the mail had started piling up on Monday. He went to the window to see if they were in the kitchen, but he didn't see anything. He also noted that there was no smoke coming from the chimney. Not a great sign.
No, not at all.
Okay. April 4th, so this is Tuesday, 1922. A mechanic arrived. They had made an appointment with him to fix a feed machine for the livestock that was broken. And he noticed that the barn was locked. He didn't see the family, but he waited like for an hour for the family to talk to them. I don't know why he needed to if he knew what he was doing, but he went into the shed to fix the machine. It took him about 4.5 hours. At about 3:30 that day, Lauren sent his son and stepson. Wait, he has a son too? Where did that son come from? That must have been from his first marriage. Sorry, okay. So he had a son from his first marriage, stepson from this possible second marriage, question mark? I don't know. Some of these details were a little iffy. But he sent them over to the farm to see if they could contact. When they didn't, Lawrence went over. And so it's possible that Lawrence came over while the mechanic was still there. The timeline's a little fuzzy in this part. So he had a key to the barn, and he could unlock the door. The mechanic One source said that when the mechanic was done fixing the machine and he came out, the barn was unlocked. So I'm not sure if that happened because Lawrence unlocked it or if somebody else did. Anyway, so in the barn were a bunch of bodies. You probably guessed. Yeah, it's pretty great. Not really.
Yeah.
So the bodies were discovered by Lawrence and other neighbors who had come looking. Four of them were piled together under the hay. And I'm going to give a few details here. So if gore grosses you out, skip ahead. They couldn't be recognized by their faces because they were so brutally beaten. So Andreas, his cheekbones were sticking out because his skin was torn around his face and his face was totally caked in blood. Older Cecilia had strangulation marks around her neck and seven blows to the head. Victoria had nine star-shaped stab marks on her head. It appears she was also hit with a blunt object, and she had strangulation marks around her neck as well. This is the worst one. It makes me really sad. So, Celie was also in the barn, the seven-year-old, and her eye socket was smashed, and apparently she didn't die right away. She laid in the barn for hours and pulled out clumps of her hair.
Ow.
I know. It breaks my heart. She had to be so scared and in, like, so much pain and listen to her family members die.
That's messed up.
Yeah, for real. So we've got four of the family members. The maid and the youngest have still not been found. So Lawrence cried something like, "Where is my boy?" while he's looking for Joseph. So he looked inside the house. He saw dirty dishes. And in one of the bedrooms was Maria. She had been killed in her bedroom on her first day of her new job. So here's a
the
gross...
The job she was afraid to go to anyway.
Yep. So here's a gross detail if you want to skip. She had a wound that looked like it was created by a pickaxe or a hoe that was 4 centimeters deep.
Ouch.
Yeah. I don't want to be the guy that measured that. Just saying. So across the hall, Joseph was in his room. If you want to skip ahead again, I wouldn't blame you. He had been struck once with a sharp object. It went through his head and left a hole in the crib. And he probably died instantly.
And how old was he?
2. I know, it hurts. So it's thought that they were somehow lured to the barn one by one. But I'm not sure how that would have worked, especially with Andreas and Cecilia, because they shared a bedroom, you know. The door was really narrow into the barn, and only one person could fit in at a time anyway. So if two had come at once, one would have been able to run. And none of them showed any signs of fighting back, as far as I could find. So it wasn't like if they came at the same time, one of them fought and tried to protect the other, you know. So I'm not sure how that happened. Some thought that they came out one by one to check on restless animals who were noisy, but later when they were investigating, people would like stand in the barn and scream.
And you couldn't hear it.
Mm-mm, you couldn't hear it from the house. And if you can't hear a human scream, you're not going to hear a cow mooing, you know. So here's the good news. The farm animals and the Pomeranian watchdog were not hurt.
Because that's what's important.
Well, you gotta have some bright points, you know. They figured out the crime happened on Friday at night because Maria's sister had visited that afternoon, and they were all alive then, so it couldn't have been before then. And because the two were still in their beds, obviously it would have been at night. So the sister was probably the last person besides the murderer or murderers to see them alive. There was no apparent motive of robbery. Because there was a cache of cash, they're really cool, was found inside the house. So, if they were looking for money, they would have taken it. But, remember how I said when Lawrence went in the house, there were dirty dishes?
Mm-hmm.
It's thought that the murderer hung out at the house for days after the murder.
That I can't figure out. I heard so many crimes that are like that.
Yeah, that's kind of, like I said, reminiscent of the Denver Spider-Man, just kind of hang out, whatever. So, the livestock had been fed and milked, which, I mean, that's nice, I guess, but, like, why? I just really don't understand. But also, food had been prepared in the kitchen. Also, there was a witness that claimed he rode by the farm on Saturday evening, and either rode or walked, that wasn't clear, But as he's going down the road, a mysterious figure on the farm approached him with a lantern, and, like, this guy waved, and they didn't respond, but he got a bad feeling, and he kind of, like, ran away. He also noted that there was a horrible smell coming from the chimney. But I'm not sure, the bodies were all there, so I'm not sure if they were just trying to cook something, and it went, they just did a bad, threw it in the chimney, I don't know. But anyway, it was a small town, so everyone knew about it pretty much immediately. Unfortunately, everyone flocked to the farm and poked around before police got there. What did that do, Thomas?
Oh my god.
Contaminated all the evidence.
Yeah, honestly, if you find something like this, if there's a possibility they're alive, like, they're maybe just look like they're asleep and not laying in a pool of their own blood or have a big gaping hole on them. Mm-hmm. If it's something like, you know, lots of blood, gaping hole, something, trace your steps out of there and don't touch anything. Call the police immediately and tell them.
Well, call the police immediately anyway.
Well, yeah, call them immediately, but step out of the crime scene. And when the cops get there, tell them literally everything you've done. Mm-hmm. They will take your prints, they'll take your boot print, anything like that. So if they find anything like that,
they can really up.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't try to be an armchair detective in an actual crime scene. Listen to Murder Squad and help them solve unsolved crimes, but don't try to do it in real life when you see a body. If you see a body. Hopefully you never see a body. Okay, so the weapon was determined to either be a pickaxe or a mattock, which is similar. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, I had to look it up. A mattock looks like a pickaxe, but where a pickaxe is pointed on both ends, a mattock looks like a hoe on one side, like, yep. It's got the pointed part and then a hoe on the other side, which is kind of cool. It's a dual use, yeah. You know.
When I was younger, I shouldn't say I had it, we had it, my family.
Cool. This is kind of gross. They found a pickaxe in the barn. The handle had spots of blood on it, but the head was clean. It's speculated that the cattle had licked it clean.
Makes sense.
I don't like it. There was also a pen knife found at the murder scene, but was obviously not the murder weapon.
Yeah.
And also, they did find another pickaxe later, and we'll talk about that too. So I'm not sure if more than one was used. I don't know. So police interviewed about 100 people, and they didn't have any luck narrowing down the suspect. Remember I said that one guy went by house? Yeah. There was another witness that same night. Around 3 a.m., they saw two figures standing near the edge of the forest. When they noticed they were being watched, the two people turned around so their faces weren't visible. I don't know.
That's not suspicious.
No, not at all. So, I want to just read this part word for word from the Ranker article, because it just says it really well. So, allegedly, the skulls of the Grubers and their maid were also given to clairvoyants, presumably in an effort to learn more about the perpetrator or perpetrators who had committed the brutal massacre. Inexplicably, the victim's skulls were kept in Munich. Thus, the Gruber family and their maid, Maria Baumgartner, were buried without their heads. According to the authorities, the skulls went missing following the upheaval caused by World War II and were never recovered.
You know, that is one of the things I could almost see Hitler having in his collection.
Yeah.
He really liked, you know, mysticism and...
That's creepy.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people will say that it's myth, but there is evidence that he had the Italians looking for mystical artifacts. You know, anything that could give him power, he was into.
Yeah. Some made it sound like they were buried in a mass grave together. Some said they were all buried together, like, in a grave, but in coffins. But regardless, they're all headless, which is something.
According to some cultures, they could not rest without their heads. Of course, I don't really... I mean, I personally don't believe in that, and I believe when you die, you die. That's it. But there are a lot of cultures that if a person has their arm amputated, their arm, it will be, like, placed in a coffin, buried, and then when that person dies, they will exhume the arm and lay it with the body.
Cool stuff. Wonderful. Yeah. So, an interesting note. The autopsies were done in the barn.
Okay.
That's a really nice, sterile environment.
It was the 1920s, so I'm surprised there was even an autopsy.
Right. That's true. So...
Quite honestly, the autopsy was probably measuring wounds, seeing how deep things were, noting that this bone was exposed, this, you know, laceration here, and that was probably it. It wasn't like a, let's weigh out the organs and see if there's anything abnormal inside.
That's true. One of the websites, I don't remember, I think it's Cracked Cold Cases or Thawed Cold Cases, whatever. I think that one had the autopsy notes on it, so if you're interested in that kind of stuff, that gives more details. So, this is what I was looking for. It was literally next on the list. The home was demolished a year after the murder, even though they hadn't found the murderer yet.
Lovely.
Yeah. So, that destroyed a ton of evidence.
Yeah.
And another pickaxe was found in the attic.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if it was there the whole time, and they just didn't do a thorough search. Hmm. I'm wondering, too, one place said that when the people originally went to the barn when they saw the bodies, it was just, you know, a regular scene. When they left, came back, there was a rope hanging down from the, like, loft of the barn, as if someone had been up there and escaped. So it's possible that someone maybe, like, said, oh crap, someone's here, I need to run now, came back later to get their stuff when everyone was gone, and then left the murder weapon there? Question mark? I don't know.
Possible.
But, yeah, it's really strange. And I really, it just seems really dumb to me to demolish it when they hadn't found the murderer. 1927, someone claimed that a stranger came up to them, asked them questions about the murder, claimed to be the murderer, and then ran off. Which I just love that visual of...
Hey, bro. What? Tell me about this murder. Oh, yeah, I did it anyway. Bye.
That was me. Oh! It just runs away. Yeah, so that person was never identified or found. So, cool. So, 9 years after the murder, and 8 years after they demolished the house, there was a reinvestigation. And during this reinvestigation, the police interrogated Lawrence, Victoria's lover. Mm-hmm. There is a couple possible motives that he could have had. One was that he was jealous of her relationship with her father. And it's also possible that he wanted to avoid paying child support for Joseph, which is weird. Or he was jealous and upset that his new wife's baby had just died. Remember how we said that earlier? So that could have been like a rage thing. However, he convinced the police he was innocent. The other possibility, I like this one just because I like kind of out there theories. The other possibility is Carl Gabriel, Victoria's dead husband.
Ah.
He was reported to have been killed, but his body was never recovered.
So he could have taken a blow to the head, kind of been a little delirious, wandered around. Finally came to after he was, you know, could have been in a military hospital, could have been found by someone else.
Prisoner of war.
Prisoner of war, released, comes home.
Yeah, there's a giant mess. So, at the end of World War II, soldiers also reported seeing him in a Soviet Union uniform. So, I don't know if that's people that were also in... I don't know how they would know it was him if it was World War II, I don't know. But... this lead was not pursued because some other soldiers from World War I claimed they had seen the body and seen an explosion where he died.
Perhaps they saw an explosion, they saw his body, but he was only unconscious.
Could have been. I don't know. It could have been a situation where he staged his death, he just, like I said, their marriage wasn't going well anyway, and he wanted to divorce, he didn't want to divorce her, but he wanted to get away from her. And then... was the other possibility, came back, and he saw Victoria with another child, and either jealous of her dad or her boyfriend. I think those would be not good motives, but they would be seen as a motive, you know? Yeah. So, one source, I think it was Wikipedia, also had a possibility that two brothers did it. There's no motivation that I could come up with, but their mother had claimed that they lost their penknife, and it matched the description of the one found at the scene. Hmm. But that's literally all the information there is on it.
Maybe a robbery gone wrong?
Maybe.
They don't know about money stashed away anywhere. If they lead them out to the barn, they start beating the crap out of them, they never tell them where the money is, they're angry, they kill them. They start searching the house slightly, realize there's two more people in there, take them out, and then, oh crap, we gotta go.
I don't know. It just seems kind
of
weird.
Stuff like this, there's hundreds of possibilities. Thousands of possibilities.
So, there's some other suspects, but as they go on, there's less details, and it seems less and less likely. Mm-hmm. So, regardless of who it was, personally, I don't think it could be described as an act of passion, because if they're being called out one by one, that has to be premeditated. At least, you know, even if, like, the first one, if, let's say it was Carl, her husband, he saw Cecilia, little Cecilia, come out to the barn, and he was just mad that she grew up without him or something, killed her. That could maybe somehow be, like, an act of passion of some kind. But the others, I don't know. Doesn't seem great. So because the case was pretty much, it seemed to be unsolvable, they closed it in 1955 officially. It was reopened in 2007, but the police have a theory about who did it when they
reopened the case.
Yes, but they kept it a secret. And using DNA in 1999, so taking a step back a little bit, they were able to eliminate all but one suspect, but they kept it quiet to respect the privacy and the lives of the descendants of the killer. Which is good for them, but it's bad for me because I'm curious. But I understand. I just hate it. And because the killer was dead by this point anyway, they didn't think it was useful information.
Yeah, but here's the question. How many of the suspects actually have descendants?
Oh, that's a good question.
That could narrow it down.
You research that and let me know.
No, I'm good.
Anyway, so there's no more buildings there. Like I said, they're all demolished. There's kind of like a little shrine thing, like a little plaque on a wall. Like a little thing that was built to memorialize it. According to Historic Mysteries, the caption on it in German, translated to English, on March 31st, 1922, the Gabriel Gruber family fell victim to the ungodly hand of the murderer. So, there's been multiple documentaries made about this, books written. It's influenced a lot of true crime stories and shows and things like that. And it's still considered unsolved to this day.
Yeah, I've heard, like, the story feels familiar, so I know I've probably seen, like, NCIS, Law and Order, something that's had something. Maybe Unsolved Mystery. Unfortunately, I've seen every episode. I've seen every episode of the Robert Stack era. I've seen the reruns, which were technically just reruns with a new host that had Dennis Farina in it. And I've seen all of the Netflix revival.
I'm still mad because you didn't watch that with me.
It wasn't anything great.
When did you watch it, though?
Every once in a while when I can't really sleep, I'll watch an episode or something on my phone.
Anyway. But yeah, so that's the story of the Hinterkaifeck farm murder. Anyway, so, cool. If you want to talk to us,
we're on all the Twitters. All of them.
All the Twitters. We're on Instagram and Facebook. We have a group and a page. Also, if you have comments, questions, suggestions, you can email us at creepylifepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to do another listener episode, which, by the way, I realized by complete accident that Morbid, the podcast, also has listener tales.
Ah.
I looked. Nobody has claimed listener experiences. So let us know what you think about that. Also, I've been saying that I was gonna do it. I started a TikTok. I have one video of me saying that I don't know what I'm doing, and that's literally it so far. But if you want to follow me, it's at Creepy Sparky. Creepy with a Y, Sparky with an IE. I have 0 likes on my video so far, but 18 views. I'm pretty famous.
Oh, yeah.
Alright. Oh, we haven't gotten any new reviews/ratings, so please get those in. We were going to do something else too, weren't we?
It was just a bonus episode.
No, there was something. Oh, okay. So, we were talking, so this is a new thing. The other day, I went through Anchor, and I was looking at all the places that we don't have listeners.
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking about...
the states.
Yeah.
Not all the places, just the U.S. states. Yeah,
the U.S. states that we do not have any listeners in. Okay. So, if we can get to the other of the states, we can work on other territories and stuff later. Right now, my next goal is to get to all the states. If we can get to all the states, we will do a bonus questions and answers episode where you can ask us anything within reason, and we will answer your questions. These are the states that we still need to get to all 50 of the states. Alaska, Hawaii, South Dakota, Vermont, New Hampshire, West Virginia, and Rhode Island. So if we can get to those 7 states, we will do a bonus episode where you can ask us questions. And we will post this on Facebook as well, and the Twitters and Insta. So if you want to be awesome and spread the podcast with friends you have in those states, that would be super great.
That would be.
We love you guys. I appreciated the support, extra support I got after my announcement last week, so thank you.
You had an announcement last week?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I got a special piece of paper that said I'm not married anymore. It's pretty fancy.
You got support from that?
A couple people.
Awesome. You didn't tell me about that.
Alright, well now it's time for Thomas to go to bed because it's 8:30, so...
Yay!
He literally goes to bed at 8:30.
I also wake up at 5 a.m.
For no reason.
If I don't wake up a little bit earlier, then I used to be the type of person that could wake up 5-10 minutes before I was supposed to be at work and still get there on time. I can't do that now. I need to wake up at least an extra hour just to wake up and then panic because I have to be at work in an hour. So, yeah. Anxiety in the world of COVID.
Yay.
We definitely appreciate you guys. You're awesome.
Stay creepy.